Good morning. So happy to see you here worshiping with us in this beautiful and cool sanctuary. And I pray together with you that we will all experience the presence of the living God in our personal life and the life of this church, and the power of the Holy Spirit touching us, especially through the word that God prepared for all of us to hear this morning. A man wandered into the woods trying to escape his midlife crisis. Thinning hair, a job that made him question his life choices, and a dating record so empty that even his mom had stopped asking. As he muttered to himself about his destiny, he spotted something shiny, a dusty old lamp under some leaves. Well, he thought, it's either a magic lamp or another can of diet soda. He rubbed it, and bam, a genie burst out in a cloud of glitter. Three wishes, the genie boomed, and no, you can't wish for hair. For my first wish, said the man, I'd like $5 million. And poop, $5 million appeared in a fancy James Bond suitcase. What is your second wish? Asked the genie. For my second wish, I'd like a brand new red convertible Ferrari. Please, I want my middle life crisis cured, said the man. And poop, a gleaming new Ferrari appears. And for your third wish, inquired the genie. And the man pondered thoughtfully. Well, I have plenty of money and a slick sports car, so I believe I can attract some women. For my last wish, I want to be absolutely irresistible to women. With a dramatic poof, he was instantly transformed into a box of chocolate. This significant change made his luxuries meaningless. He could not enjoy his money and car. Life is like a flowing river, always passing through different stages. You know, many experience the changes all the time. And some very radical changes, like the one who won lottery. And the thing is, they don't know how to handle that. The sudden changes, they cannot handle. Regardless, all of us are going through changes. While frequent changes might make us feel uncertain or uneasy, they also help us discover our inner strength. How can we stay calm when faced with change? Like Paul, we can find happiness no matter the circumstances. When Paul wrote the epistle to the Ephesians, he was going through major changes. Newly arrived in Rome and under house arrest. Even amid restriction and uncertainty, he stayed positive and accepted the situation as God's will. His secret was simple yet powerful: strong faith and contentment with God's plan. If Paul could find peace in tough times, so can we, by trusting and embracing God's purpose for our lives. So let's look more closely at Paul's situation. Paul wrote his last five letters while he was in Rome's prison, including Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon. Some usually do not include 2 Timothy, but apparently 2 Timothy is written while he was in prison, because he mentioned about his departure, imminent departure. The first letter he penned after arriving in Rome was Ephesians. Why Ephesians first? Actually, it makes sense considering he spent about 3 years in Ephesus, the longest time he spent anywhere during his missionary trips. This suggests Paul cared deeply about the church there. When Paul was writing this letter, he had just arrived in Rome after a very tough sea voyage across the Mediterranean from Caesarea, Israel. The journey was filled with severe storms, and everyone on the ship thought that they might not survive. They went without food for days, and the ship eventually wrecked, forcing everyone to swim to a nearby island. Before that difficult journey, Paul had been arrested and tried in Caesarea for 2 years. Ever since his first arrest in Jerusalem, Paul's circumstances stayed challenging. He could have been free during his trial in Caesarea, but he chose to claim his Roman citizenship and appeal to Caesar, which meant taking his case to a higher court in Rome. Caesar was the title used for Roman emperor, a title that started with Julius Caesar. At that time, Nero was the emperor, and this might have foreshadowed the difficult road ahead for Paul, hinting at the possibility of his upcoming martyrdom. Let us put ourselves in Paul's shoes as he wrote Ephesians. Our lives were turned upside down 2.5 years ago. We've faced trials that sapped our emotional and physical strength. After surviving a frightening storm, we finally reached Rome, only to find we can move freely. Rome's ruler is unpredictable, and we might worry our time is running out. In such a moment, what would we write? Most likely, we'd share what we are facing to ease our emotional burden and seek comfort. We might feel we are suffering because of a wrong choice or that the outcome didn't match what we hoped for when dedicating our lives to the Lord. We've probably asked God why he allows such hardship for faithful followers like us. But did Paul write about his own struggles in Ephesus? Interestingly, we don't find any description of his situation. His words sound more like a casual sermon than a hardship report. When Paul wrote to other churches, he often addressed the specific issues they faced. But in Ephesians, he doesn't mention any particular problem in Ephesus. Rather, he begins by praising their faith. Here's what it says in verse 15 and 16. It says, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Only at the very end of the letter does he briefly mention his own situation, saying, "I am an ambassador in chains." Why didn't this new situation of imprisonment in Rome bother Paul at all? Why didn't he wish things could have been different? You can find the answer at the very start of his letter. Take a look at how he began. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will." Honestly, in his wildest dream, Paul never thought he would become an apostle. He was a passionate man who persecuted Christians and their churches. On his way to Damascus to arrest some Christians, a dazzling light from heaven suddenly blinded him. God told Ananias that Paul was his chosen instrument to share his message with the Gentiles, and he sent Ananias to pray for Paul and restore his sight. Ananias would have talked to Paul about God's calling him to spread the gospel. So it was not Paul's will, but God's will that made him an apostle. And whatever happened to Paul, he believed it was all part of God's plan. Paul took this understanding even deeper. In verse 4, he says, God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This means God chose Paul and all believers before they were even born and before God created the world. Do you know what this idea is called in theology? It's called predestination. As Paul explains in verse 5, he destined us in love to be his children through Jesus Christ, according to his good purpose. The translation that we read here is says a destined, but in original text, that word is, in Greek text, is proorisas. And proorisas, you can test it later on. Just speak to your cell phone and then say proorisas in Greek, and it'll say the meaning of it. It says predestined, foreordained, were determined ahead of time. I mean, destiny is a similar meaning, but the original sense, predestination, is a little stronger than destined. And the NIV that I usually use translated as predestined instead of destined, and RSV and then the newer RSV use destined, that is a little weaker in meaning. Paul used this same word, predestination, in verse 11, where he says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Not every believer believes in predestination. Calvinists and Presbyterians used to believe in it, but they no longer do, surprisingly. They now hold a watered-down understanding of predestination. Methodists believe in God's providence, meaning God has sovereign power over everything. Both predestination and providence affirm God's sovereignty, but predestination speaks of absolute sovereignty, while providence leaves some room for human will. So you can tell when Paul says he became the apostle by the will of God, he was really serious. Whatever happened to him was already predetermined long before. However, we understand the word. Paul, to me, is a believer in predestination, as he repeats the concept of it and the word at the beginning of Ephesians. This suggests that Paul fully accepted his circumstances as God's predestination. He had an unwavering conviction about how God operated in his life. Imprisonment in Rome was ordained by God. Therefore, Paul was perfectly okay with it. Now, how do we respond when unexpected changes occur beyond our control, as in Paul's situation? It's natural to feel discouraged or even to deny them at first. Even as we choose to follow Jesus, we still have some influence over our lives and often prefer to avoid surprises. But we should approach these moments with faith and openness, trusting that God works, everything works together for good in God. Yet our action often override our faith. Here is a story about Maria Joao Perez, a renowned concert pianist and talented Portuguese musician. One evening in 1999, she unexpectedly received a call for help. The pianist scheduled to perform in Amsterdam couldn't make it, so they had to find someone to step in just a day before the concert. When they reached out to Maria, it was 9 p.m. the night before. She kindly agreed and caught a flight to Amsterdam the very next morning. The orchestra, the conductor, and Maria had no time to rehearse. The grand 2,000-seat hall was already filled with eager audiences. Everyone was ready to go. And at the conductor's cue, the orchestra started playing. Suddenly, Maria realized the music wasn't what she had been told the night before. The program listed Mozart Piano Concerto in D minor, K466. But she had been told over the phone it was Mozart Piano Concerto in A major, K488. Someone had mixed up K466 with K488. Usually, concert pianists spend months preparing, and Maria had only played K466 nearly a year earlier. She wasn't ready to perform it on a second's notice, especially live on stage. The conductor, Riccardo Chiali, didn't notice the shock on her face as he directed the orchestra to begin. And this is what happened afterwards. We're going to watch the video clip of it. Watch Maria's facial expression.
Thank you. she was shocked because she was expecting us to play another concerto. So when I started the first bar of the D minor concerto, she kind of jumped and panicked, like an electric shock, I think. And she couldn't consider even moving ahead playing, you know. And then we talked a moment, and she told me I was expecting to play a completely different piece. I do what I can do if I remember. And the miracle is that she has such a memory that she could, within a minute, switch to a new concerto without making one mistake.
Diane, can you imagine if you were in a position? She was like,
I have been buying
Would you like to know? That was the feeling I had when I came to this church first.
You did well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. What would you do if you were in the situation? I mean, imagine that Paul's situation never been improved. He went through all the ordeals, and including that, you know, terrible storms in the voyage, and arrive in Rome, the situation has never improved, and probably was worse. And, you know, he probably began to hear rumors about this this crazy guy, Nero. But he didn't say anything. He not mentioned Nana on that letter. You know, it was like, I'm perfectly fine. How you doing? I hear all these good reports. I pray, you know, that you continue to do well. Can we do that? Our lives move quickly with ever-changing circumstances that can catch us off guard. But remember, God is like a loving conductor, guiding us along the way and encouraging us, I know you can do it. I call the perspective Paul had when he wrote Ephesians a pilgrim's perspective. Pilgrim's perspective. Do we have the pilgrim's perspective? Let's adopt the same pilgrim's perspective, trusting that God has chosen us and is actively directing our lives according to His perfect plan. Even when things don't turn out as we expected, we keep doing our best, confident that God's will is at work behind every sin of our lives. We surrender our worries to Him, trusting that He is guiding us according to His purpose. And we just pray, Thy will be done every moment, every day, all throughout our lives, Thy will be done. Humbly following His lead. This is how we should look at our circumstances and how we should walk our pilgrim's journey. Amen.